This is Stargate Pioneer.
And this is Steven John Drew.
And we want to thank Kyle and Ryan for letting us take over their Villains and Vegans podcast this week.
We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Chris from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 69 of Better Podcasting. We've got a packed show for you today, starting with news of free microphones that one of our past guests has just given away.
For our main topic, we're going to discuss recording services and also in the download tell you all about SiriusXM and their podcasting service.
I'll also give you a brief overview of our Great Knox podcasting microphone review. You'll want to hear this.
And finally, in our Better Podback, we'll follow up about our self-hosting arc. Let's start the episode now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Steven John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
And welcome to episode 69 of Better Podcasting. My name is Steven John Drew, and with me, of course, is my friend, my co-host, my home slice, my just random guy that I know named Stargate Pioneer.
My jelly to your peanut butter? Something like that. Yes, hello, everybody. I'm Stargate Pioneer, and we are just psyched to be here today because we got a lot of podcasting stuff to talk to you about, and that's what we're here for, to get you on your road to better podcasting. Woohoo! It's even the name of the show.
Woohoo! Well, let's just get into it because it is jam-packed. Now, here's the thing. We've been soliciting for a while your feedback. We want to know, how did you save your podcast? And if there's something that you did to save an episode of your podcast, let us know. You can get in touch with us through a variety of different ways. And we actually had one listener reach out to us this week, but you'll have to wait till next week to hear that because, like I said, very busy show today. And we've got room scheduled next week to hear all about that. So send in yours and maybe you'll be able to hear yourself. We also want to give you a bit of an update about Bandrew Scott. He's that podcaster that has that crazy busy podcastage YouTube channel that you might want to check out. And he's got a lot of subscribers there. So much so that he's got a contest giveaway that he's just announced. Espy's going to tell you all about that contest and how you can enter.
I feel almost shamed at this, but because he's just outpacing us by leaps and bounds, but he's got 25,000 subscribers, and as a thank you to his audience, as a thank you to everybody that has subscribed, he is doing a microphone giveaway. So you have your choice of microphones that you can get. Just go to his podcasting YouTube channel and you'll hear all about the giveaway. But there's one thing that I want to state about this giveaway is that you can go over there and elect, instead of a microphone, instead of an audio interface, you can actually ask him to give some money away to charity instead, which is what I did. I think that is great. But if you need the microphone, go for that too. It's just a good giveaway. Thank you very much, Bandrew Scott.
Yes.
Go to the Podcastage YouTube channel.
Yeah. So everybody, you can check all of the contest information over on the Podcastage YouTube channel. And Bandrew, I just want to say, I know that you've reached a milestone, but you didn't have to do this. So I think that is really cool that you decided to put together this contest, especially the part about a option for the winner to select a donation to charity. That's really, really kind. Really cool. Everybody, I encourage you to check that out on the Podcastage YouTube channel. Good job, Bandrew. But let's just go ahead and talk some recording services. All right, So here's the bottom line. We're often asked, how do I record my podcast? That's often what we find. And quite honestly, we usually default to talking about using a hardware recorder. There's a whole bunch of benefits to using a hardware recorder, but it's not the only way to do it. There are software ways that you can record your podcast, and we've never talked about it. So we want to take an episode here to talk about a whole bunch of different podcast services. Now, before we get there, let's ask, what is the difference between a hardware and a software recorder? Well, with a hardware recorder, you're actually routing the audio out to an external device. There's a bunch of different ways that you can do that, but the general idea is you're using something like a Zoom H6 to record, basically tap into that sound and record it. With a recording service, you're essentially using software, something that's on your computer, on the internet, something like that. There's no physical component on that. Now, what are some pros of doing the software method versus the hardware method? Well, number one, it's going to be cost. Quite often it's cost. I shouldn't say always, because the thing is, when you look at something like a Zoom H5 or a Zoom H6, you're looking at several hundred dollars. With recording services, there are things that are even free. So you might save a bit of money, right, SB?
Yeah, indeed. That is how I started, by the way, is I started trying to use a software recorder. It was MP3 Skype recorder. We'll get to that in a minute. But the problem that I had was that my machine ate quite a few podcasts. And I was like, that's it. I'm getting a hardware recorder. So if you find yourself in that boat where your machine isn't that reliable or your internet service that you're using isn't that reliable, I still do recommend using the hardware piece. But if you're just starting out, if you're just putting your toe in the water, checking the temperature, I would encourage you to use one of these free software recorders. Now, there are some reliability problems noted with podcasting software recorders. Matter of fact, Chris uses Audacity as his main recording track on his computer, and he's a co-host of mine on Starling Tribune. And just this week, after the podcast was over and we were off the air and he was getting ready to save that file, he's like, Audacity is not responding. Audacity isn't responding. It was that way for 5 minutes. And he's just like, just hang on just a little bit more. And it finally went through. Sometimes that doesn't go that way. Sometimes it actually goes to the way of it's not recoverable. So that is one con. Your computer can actually restart during a project, especially with these forced updates now with Windows 10. Odds are it won't actually do it while you're recording. However, there is a possibility that your computer can restart during the middle of a podcast. If you're broadcasting live, there's a whole other bunch of issues that come with that as well. But we'll just stick with the recording issues for this. You definitely will need a beefier and more newer computer to do it, because you're dealing with all these newer software packages, the OS system, the actual communication system back and forth. If you're doing a remote system like Stephen and I are doing, and it just all adds up to the fact that your computer needs to be a newer computer and a more beefier computer in order to handle that. Like my 10-year-old old XP machine that's outside this door right now, it could not do what we're doing right here. Nope, not. It's not going to do that, and it's definitely not going to record.
Yeah. The other thing that we want to quickly mention about this is with the software service, when you end up adding it to your computer, it's essentially another thing that is using extra resources on your computer. And I know we talked about sort of the need for a beefier machine, but you got to remember, the more stuff that is going through your computer, the more likely there could be repercussions for other things, because, you know, you're all sucking up the same sort of resources. So it is something to be aware of. If you use a software service, anytime you do anything with software, you might find that it affects yourself elsewise. And so there might be another problem that emerges because of that. So you always want to be a little bit aware of that. But what we're going to do is just run through a bunch of services today. We've got compiled quite the list, and you're going to see we've grouped them into some different categories. And all we're going to do is sort of very high level overview of these, give you some basic information, some food for thoughts. And we're going to try to focus, if something has multiple tiers to it, we're going to try to focus on the more hobby level tiers. So we're going to ignore the thousands of dollars sort of tiers, so that you could actually care about what we're talking about today, since you're a hobby podcaster.
and recognize over time that your subscription service that you might be paying for might actually cost you more than it would if you had a Zoom H5, H6, or any of the other portable digital recorders that are out there.
Absolutely. Excellent point, SP. So what do we want to start off with here? Well, let's just go ahead and start off with some capturing programs. And what we mean by that is these are actual programs that are meant to capture different parts of your computer. And we're specifically talking video capture services. So what it is you open up this program, you tell it what you want to capture, and you can capture with it. Now you're saying to yourself, Steven, why do I care about this? Why would I want this? I'm not doing a video show. Well, here's the thing. You don't have to do video. You can actually capture the audio as well. So it's nice because it's actually applicable for both. You can just have it just recording audio. You could just do that, and then you can convert it from the video file over to audio, and you can work with it. So if you've got the ambitions to do video, maybe these are something you want to start in so that you're not making the hop a little bit later, and you just start off using this as an audio. First one we want to mention is OBS. This is Open Broadcast System, I believe it is, and just look up OBS. And what it is it's a totally free piece of software that does all sorts of video craziness. You can set things up just like we do on this show. If you've ever watched us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, you can set it all up from there. And there's two versions of it that you want to know about. There's essentially the legacy version, and then there's one that they call OBS Studio. The idea with the second version is that they did a basically ground up code rewrite of it, looking at the future, making it hopefully a more stable product, making it but essentially have more potential. And so if you are starting out with this, we would encourage you to look into the OBS Studio because that's probably the direction they're going to go in the future. But the problem is that there's a whole bunch of legacy plugins, add-ins, things that people use currently within OBS that are not currently made for OBS Studio, so they keep the other version going. So we would encourage you to look into the OBS Studio if you're going to do that. Now, it looks a little daunting at first, but once you get in, it's actually not that bad, not that hard to set up, and you can find a lot of really good resources on there, so it might be something that you want to consider first before you check out something like what we're going to talk about, which is called XSplit.
I've had a chance to use both versions of OBS, and I could say without a doubt that OBS Studio is definitely easier for the newer user to use. So if you're just trying out OBS, for the first time, that is what you want to do. OBS Studio, not the OBS Classic.
Awesome. And the other thing we want to talk about is XSplit, which is very similar to OBS, but on a bigger level. Now, what I mean by that is okay, there's a free version, but consider it paid for your purposes because that's probably what you're going to have to do. Maybe not at first if you're just only doing audio, but XSplit is something that it's meant to be as a sold piece of software. So obviously there's sort of a different level with it. Now, when we look at XSplit, there's essentially two versions of that, two big categories. One is called XSplit Broadcaster. The other one is Gamecaster. For your purposes, just pay attention to Broadcaster. Now, as I mentioned, there is technically a free version of it, but there's a lot of limitations in it. And if you're looking to do video, you're probably going to find those limitations are going to offer some problems for you as far as there's some watermarking involved. So it's going to say XSplit over it. There's less what's called scenes. So it's going to be harder to essentially set up different visuals. But for an audio only, it might work for you. The free might work. And then that's great. If that works, that's all you got to do. But again, you might need to look into getting into what's called the premium version, and there is a premium version, and there you can buy it in different amounts essentially. So there's like a 3-month amount, a 6-month amount, a 12-month, and they even have a life option. So check into that if you are looking to actually do some video, because that might be a better option for you is to pay for the premium version. And it's what we use now. So obviously we can vouch for it because I use it on my end. SP's used it for a couple of things on his end. So it definitely is something that has proven itself for us.
I do appreciate XSplit a little bit better than OBS. It seems to be a smoother video capture software in general. And I just haven't used the full extent of it yet, but I do like it better than OBS Studio for doing what we do. I do need to get a little bit further into that. And I know as soon as I do that, the next thing I'm going to want to do is go to the next one that we're going to talk about, which is vMix.
Yeah. And vMix is quite expensive. Like when you look it up, there's a whole bunch of different categories. and we're really quickly going to touch base on it because it's the same as what we also want to mention Wirecast, where they're at a higher level of price point. Like to do anything HD video wise, you're looking at spending hundreds to thousands of dollars. But again, maybe that's your level of what you want to do. Maybe you've allocated that amount of funds. People go and they're like, you know what hobby I want to take up? I want to take up speedboating. Here's, I don't know, what's a speedboat cost? $70,000? Like, you know,
yeah, it costs at least 70 on up. It depends on what you want. I was thinking racing boat, and I was like, well, okay, well, like, you know, Miss Budweiser, that's like at least $1.2 million or something like that.
Yeah. So anyways, just take a look into those. Those might be options for you. But for a hobby podcaster, we'd suggest start out with OBS and look from there. Now, again, you can use those video services for audio. But if you are only doing audio only, maybe you want to look at something else. Well, a lot of people use Skype to essentially communicate with their partner. It's great. It's a free service, generally fairly reliable, asterisks there on video, and the occasional audio glitch, but overall it works for most people. It gives them a pretty good quality that they're happy with. Well, how will you record just that? Well, there are actual Skype capture services, so you can go in and you can just essentially tell it to hijack to a degree the Skype audio that's being communicated, which sounds great. Because you're like, Steven, that's awesome. You're using software to record what is happening by software with Skype. It's going to sound excellent. It's going to sound phenomenal, right? Well, not necessarily, because we've noticed that some of the Skype audio recording services that we're about to discuss actually sometimes produce products that don't sound as good as recording with an actual external hardware recorder. So just keep that in mind. But a lot of people use Skype recording services, so it's absolutely something we want to mention to you. And we'll start off with one that's called MP3 Skype Recorder, which is a free piece of software.
I started out by using MP3 Skype Recorder on the advice of a couple other people that were podcasting at the time, and it's what they were using. Now, in retrospect, years later down the road, I am remastering some podcasts that I recorded with MP3 Skype Recorder, and the audio just isn't there. Of course, my audio setup here locally wasn't as good as it was, but even the MP3 file didn't exactly come through as good as it could have if I had a hardware recorder to it. So just keep that in mind that if you're using a service, you might have a little bit of degraded audio quality. It's very listenable, so don't worry about that as long as the audio going into it is listenable. But it was latest updated in December 2016, which means it's relatively current too. So it seems to be continually supported, but keep your eye on your software and the last time it was actually updated.
Yeah, and the reason we wanted to mention that as well was because a couple of years ago, I actually went to look into MP3 Skype Recorder, and at the time there had been a Skype version change. And it had been so long that MP3 Skype Recorder at that time had been updated that it wasn't compatible. So you just want to keep that in mind that, you know, that could potentially happen. But so far, it seems to be working again. All right. The other one that you might want to consider is it's a paid version. It's called Ecamm Call Recorder. There's a free trial, but it costs you about $30, $29.95 to buy, US, of course. But it does come with lifetime upgrades, and it is macOS. So this is a macOS product. But if you've got a Mac, it's something you want to check out, because really $30, I know it sounds like a lot, but if that is how you're recording your podcast, it's still cheaper than buying an external recorder.
It can be, yeah, especially if it works. And if you're, like I said, just starting out or want to keep your budget to of a minimum, then Ecamm Call Recorder definitely can work. Now, one thing that I have purchased and is actually running right now in the background is called Ever. That's EVAER. Now, the standard license right now runs about $20. The professional license runs about $30 and has some more video options in it. And Ever was important to me because, one, the audio quality was pretty superior to the MP3 Skype Recorder at the time that I chose it. But two, I knew that in the future that I might want to start doing video podcasts. It does have a video Skype capture recording part of it. Now, I will warn you that it does depend on what the beefiness, as we started to call it, of your computer really is. It depends on the connection, and it depends on just how Skype is feeling every once in a while, and it can bog down other services that are running on your computer simultaneously. Like if you're running a VAR in the background to get a backup recording of the video, and you're also running like XSplit to do multicam switching, and then you're actually doing the screen capture through OBS, I guarantee you even the beefiest computers are going to have some issues running those three services at the same time. So watch out what you have enabled and not enabled. I have enjoyed Evair. It's on multiple computers that I have, and it is my safety net for the audio recording and has been for years.
That's awesome. And I know that it's actually worked for you to save your bacon a couple times. So it's a good testimony right there.
Yeah, you have been the recipient of some of those files.
Yeah, and we were very, very grateful when that happened. So what else do we want to talk about here? Okay, so we talked about Skype recorders. Those are the ones that are on our radar. Maybe you've got something. Let us know about it. Well, there's actually communication services available that do the recording for you. So instead of using one service to communicate and one service to record, put them together. And let's start off with one of the emerging ones right now, which is called FireTalk. FireTalk is one that some people have had very good success with. It started out as a beta software, and then they're like, look, we got to make some money. This is important because it's video. It's costing us tons of money. So they came out with some different plans. They've got a free plan, a basic plan, a semi-pro, a pro, and an enterprise. Wow, try to say that 10 times fast. We're going to talk about the free, the basic, and the semi-pro, because the pro and the enterprise, again, hobby podcaster, probably not for you. The free version is going to give you essentially 10 hours worth of material, 10 viewers, one guest, no archives, no screen shares. Basically, it's probably not going to work for you. So the free is probably not going to be something that if you're a podcaster recording on a regular basis, it's probably not going to work for you. But hey, it's there, so we'll mention it. The one that you're probably going to want to look at, though, is the basic edition, which is $15 a month. This allows 50 viewers, two guests, gives you episode archiving, i.e. recording. That also gives you the screen sharing and also, hey, cool, tip jar. So if you want to try to collect tips, got that built in. And then the semi-pro one is $49 a month. And again, I know that's quite expensive, and maybe do a little cost analysis of software versus hardware at that point. But $49 a month, it's going to give you the same as the basic plan, except 100 hours per month, 150 viewers, and three guests. So that's something that you're going to want to take a look into if you are looking to do a video show. It is video capability, or you just want to do something that simplifies it. Maybe that basic version might be the way for you if it's only you and one partner.
Hey, Steven, I heard that Semi-Pro also allows you to simulcast on ESPN, The Ocho.
Cool. Cool.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
I'm just going to ignore that altogether and move on to the next one that we want to talk about, which is Zoom.us. This is actually more of a conferencing service, but might work for podcasting. Something that you might want to consider, especially if you're doing double ending recording. Maybe it's a great way to go for you. Again, there's a few different additions. There's free, pro, business, and one more, which I believe is called enterprise. And you're really only going to look here at the free and the pro because, again, being conscious of the hobby podcaster. For the free version, it gives you unlimited one-on-one sessions. So if it's you and one other person, it's going to allow you to do that. But if you want to do group sessions, it's going to limit you to 50 people and a maximum of 40 minutes per session. So if you've got more than one partner, if you got a shorter podcast, that might work for you. But just keep that in mind that there is a time limit on that. But for one-on-one, it's unlimited. So that's the free version. And then for the pro version, it's $14.99 per month. And that's per participant. So keep that in mind. And that's going to give you unlimited meeting length on all meeting types. It also gives you cloud recording, which is awesome. And also some other options there as far as bringing in guests to talk to you. So pro version definitely gives you more information or more options.
Zoom.us is almost more for a classroom environment or a conference environment rather than a podcasting environment. It's a little bit more complex, got a lot more features to it, which is good. But if you're just trying to do a simple broadcast show, might not necessarily be the experience for you. Go check it out. Find out if you're in the ballpark for something like this, and it would be great to see. Now, we're going to move on to something that we're actually using right now but it's ever changing. And that is YouTube. And YouTube Live used to be YouTube Hangouts on Air. Now Hangouts on Air are part of it. YouTube Live is free, at least for now. However, I don't know what the future has for YouTube because Google keeps on changing things because they're trying to monetize it. And I heard this ridiculous stat, like every day this past week, every day there's more than like 10 trillion minutes of YouTube footage being watched across the world. I mean, that's just ridiculously high. So eventually all that information is contained on servers that Google has got to pay for. So of course they monetize it through streaming ads or pop-up ads or something like that, but just keep your eyes on YouTube Live because I suspect it will be changing the future just to pay for its own existence.
Yeah. Right now, honestly, if you're just looking to set up a multi-person group session in order to do a podcast, it's probably your easiest and simplest way to go. But you also want to be aware that the future is really unknown with this, especially because there's rumblings that Hangouts itself is being phased out by Google. They've said otherwise, but they're making changes. And anybody that's followed Google for any length of time knows when they start to work on another service, it doesn't bode well for the old service. So keep that in mind. The future is unknown. Here's a relatively newer one that's been around, and it's called Ringer. Now, SP is the Ringer expert, so I will let him talk about that.
Never actually used Ringer, but I know a lot of people that I talk to in the podcasting circles just swear by Ringer. And there's three different stages of plans. There's a basic plan for $7.99 a month, and that records to MP3 quality, not wave quality. It's a mono file, and it does have unlimited storage, but the audio is only at 22 kilohertz. So you're not getting that 44.1 kilohertz stereo CD quality audio from it. Now, the premium is a little bit more than double. It's at $18.99 per month, US dollars, and it's got studio quality. It supports both FLAC and OGG audio options, and you get up to 48 kilohertz. So it includes that stereo 44.1 and on up to 48. Now, overall, given the options between basic and premium, we'd recommend the premium as basic is not going to yield your best audio results. And also from this and most subscription services, you do save money if you buy the annual subscription instead of the bi-month subscription. But keep in mind that Ringer, at least to my knowledge, is only a one-on-one. So if you have multiple different callers, you cannot record the audio from everybody. It was really meant to bridge the telephone gap in, kind of like you can with Skype. You can use Skype Pro to call into somebody else and use it as a communication bridge, but Ringer actually records the conversation for you, and at the premium version gives you pretty good quality.
Yeah. I had a lot of people in recent talk about using Ringer and being very happy with it, and I know there's one we're going to talk about in a minute called Zencastr, I'll just say. And a lot of people have been talking about having a better experience using Ringer. I know they're slightly different, but I've seen a lot of posts where people have been like, I've been using Ringer, it's been solid. So definitely there's a lot of people who have been quite happy with Ringer.
Yeah, the only difference, again, between the two is Ringer is one-on-one, and we'll talk about Zencastr later, but it does do multiple people that you can record in, multiple sites.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked all about a few different services here, and we've got a few more to go, but what are some other options? Well, obviously, you've got some more basic recording options as well, which are software-based. And this is essentially using a piece of software that's meant for recording, maybe editing as well, to capture on your computer what is happening. So what I mean by that is Audacity. Audacity, you probably edited in, or you have edited in it in the past. You can use that to record as well. Some computers make it easier, where when you go into Audacity and you select what audio do I want to record, there's actually an option there that might be called the mix down or the stereo mix down or the wave. There's some sound cards that allow it to be super simple. You go in, you hit that, you hit record, and there you go. It's capturing at very good quality. So it's absolutely something that you can do. Sometimes you got to take it a little bit further and maybe get a little bit creative with the way that you record. And what I mean by that is if, say, you have one of those sound cards where you go in and there's no way to really capture that sound, you could use a piece of hardware, cheap hardware, to essentially bring it back in to your computer. And quick example, that would be to, through some method, split the output from your computer, i.e. through a headphone amplifier or just a basic splitter, and then pass that back through into your line input on your sound card and record that. If you have questions about that, let me know. We'll tell you all about how you can makeshift make that work, because then you could use Audacity, you could use GarageBand, you could use Adobe Audition, or you could do what last week's guest Emily does, which is Reaper. She swears by Reaper. She says that it's better quality. So cool. Check that out.
And then also, if you were one of the fortunate people to rake in that great Hindenburg journalist deal a couple of weeks ago on their $1.90, you could use that as well. So basically any editing software that has an ingest for recording, you can use to record your podcast.
Absolutely. Another thing that we want to mention is that Zencaster. Now, this is one that SP has tried a couple times with mixed results. Right, SP?
Yeah, I've tried this a couple of times and it didn't work either time. And I think largely it was because the individuals on the other end did not have advanced enough processing hardware or storage enough, because it's supposed to record locally in order to do it. So if you all have advanced setups, Zencaster might be right for you. But I've heard different people have issues with it along the way. I'll just leave that how it is, because you go into the forums, you go into Reddit, you go into Facebook, and you start asking about Zencaster, and odds are you will have somebody that said, I have an issue with it. Now, I will qualify that, because it is still in beta. It is in paid beta now, but a lot of people tried it while it was in free beta. So go ahead and try it, test it. Don't use it on a real life use case first. And if it does work for you, you can go ahead and use it. Now, the good thing about Zencaster is you can do multiple different people, multiple different call-ins. Now, the free is only 2 guests and 8 hours per month, and you record at MP3 quality, so not as good as a Wave. But the professional version, you can buy it for $20 a month. You have unlimited guests, unlimited recordings. It does record in Wave, which is the higher lossless quality recording, and you get 10 hours of automatic post-production enhancement, which, if you've ever used Ophonic or Levelator in the cloud, it is just like those services.
Yeah, so check that out. That might be something that you want to check out. As well, you might want to try what's called TriCast. Now, this is not TriCaster. We don't talk about TriCasters here. This is TriCast. It's trica.st. So that's the domain, trica.st. And there's 2 options on there, hobby and pro. Look, they tell you which one you want, because they call it a hobby. Well, do they? We'll get there. $10 a month is the hobby version, and it's going to give you 10 hours of recording, unlimited editing. Because, hey, it also does that. And it also gives you 1 RSS. So you could definitely do an RSS there. But we're not going to talk about the big asterisks on that SP and I usually recommend when you're considering your RSS feed. And then there is a pro version for $30 a month, which is essentially the same as the hobby, but it's going to give you 100 hours per month and unlimited RSS feeds. So you can have multiple. So you might want to check that out. It might work for you there.
There is a growing list of applications like Cast. That's what it's actually called. The TriCast is the URL for it, but it's actually called Cast. There are a bunch of emerging options and services like that, where they allow you to record, and then they also are hosting your podcast basically with the RSS feed. I would think twice about doing that right now until they're proven down the road and can be legitimate contenders to services like Podbean and Libsyn. Now, the next one down the road is one that I used a while back, and it's re-emerging because of its unique capabilities. It's called Mumble. And it's not because you're mumbling into your mic. It's actually Mumble. That's what it was called. And it was really originated from the video game community, where they wanted to have these big, huge video game parties, but they wanted to be able to chat separately. So it's got a textual chat, as well as it can record each individual channel separately. And this is the actual description from Mumble, by the way. Mumble is an open source, low latency, high quality voice chat software primarily intended to use while gaming. You can download for free. The Mumble client software is required to connect to a Mumble server. Now, this is where I want to say Mumble client server, you're starting to get into the very techie solutions. And when I use Mumble, I ran into some issues. There was some latency issues as well as some recording issues. It's hard for me to say if that was the client server or if it was my computer, but I would, if you're looking at using this, test it out first to make sure it's for you. It does record each individual track separately and can give you a lossless file. However, there are now, it used to be all free. Now there are tiers and you can get 15 slots. They call them slots, but they're really recording channels. You can get free up to a certain amount. I think it's 10 or so, but then at 15 slots, you pay $7.15 per month up to 400. Yes, you can have a podcast with 400 people on it. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can. It would be audio only and it'd be $130 a month. So that's a lot of change out of there. And like I said, it's difficult to use. It's complicated to set up. It's very techy. So unless you want to venture into something like that, I would advise you to go with another option. But this might be the option for you if you're trying to record a lot of individual tracks.
Yeah. So check into that. It might be a little bit beyond what you want to do to start, but maybe you're looking to advance a little bit. Maybe it's up your alley. All right, so what are some streaming and recording services that will also generate a recording that you could potentially use? Well, Spreaker. We're doing that right now. We stream this live to Spreaker. We go to Spreaker, and we stream it out, and there's a couple different versions, and there's a free version, an on-air talent version, a broadcaster, an anchorman, and a station. Now, the free version is going to give you a 15-minute session, as well as 5 hours of storage. So, if you want to have yourself a quick 14 and a half minute podcast, you can absolutely check out the free version of that. Or maybe you want to move up to the on-air talent, which is 45-minute sessions and gives you 100 hours of storage at $4.99 per month. So not terrible. And a lot of people, that would work quite well. A lot of people do 20 to 30-minute podcasts, and that would absolutely give you quite a bit of storage for those podcasts. So you check that out at $4.99 a month, or you can move into what Stargate Pioneer does and has done for a long time, which is at $19.99 a month. There is a broadcaster version that gives you 3 hour long recordings with 500 hours of storage.
Spreaker I mainly use because of its live audio streaming capability, but I do keep my back catalog of my podcasts on Spreaker as well. I don't use the RSS feature, but you could. I don't use it because I'm limited to 500 hours, and I know at some point in time I'm going to have more than 500 hours of podcasts that are in my back catalog that I'm going to have to start deleting some of the older versions of the podcast so I can throw some newer versions of the podcast out there on live. So I opt to store my entire media back catalog somewhere else. On Libsyn is where I choose to do it, but Spreaker is wonderful for the community, the engagement, for the streaming options, and for discovery if you're looking around there. So I do recommend Spreaker if you are live streaming. Also, another one for live streaming, not on the list for today, is Mixlr, and it does do a recording option, but there's no RSS feed, and the community is less engaged there, and it does provide a great quality output, though. So either one, Spreaker and Mixlr, are good. I just choose Spreaker because of the 500 hours of storage that I can get, and really unlimited RSS streams from that, too.
Yeah. Now, you could also use Facebook Live, but with a little bit of a note on that, Facebook Live audio is still mixed results. There's some that it sounds pretty good, some that sounds not so good. I've had that happen where I have not changed any settings week to week, and one week it sounds phenomenal, the next week it sounds terrible. So there have been some changes Facebook has announced as far as audio goes, and they're really trying to enhance that. So keep your eyes on Facebook Live, because that might be a really good way that you could stream out your show live and then capture the audio back after and edit that. So keep your eyes on Facebook Live for that. And the other thing that we want to mention here is screen capture software, because this is another thing that some people might want to use. And there's one specifically that we want to mention that is really kind of marketed as screen capture software, but it's actually used more for that. If you're doing video, it actually allows you to relatively simply edit and also work on video. So it's called Camtasia. Now, it's a little bit more expensive. It is $199, but it'll give you both the Mac and Windows options. It's really geared towards somebody who wants to do video, but wants to do it simply. And what's nice about it is it is going to work for your whole process, where if you're connecting through some service or whatever, it's going to absolutely allow you to capture that video and audio and work simply. So you got to remember, it's kind of a two-in-one purpose, thus the higher price point.
A lot of people use Camtasia for video tutorials for software and online processes. That's really what it's geared for. And then you throw that video on either your site, YouTube, wherever later. But it is a production use software to capture what is on your screen. Now, it wouldn't really work for our use case right now for podcasting, because you can't really ingest stuff from multiple sources and then send it out to a stream. But if you are making a tutorial on a piece of software, if that is part of your services that you do for your podcast, you might want to look into Camtasia, because it is really easy, it's simple, and it does a lot of things that are needed, like zoom in on different parts of the screen really easily and stuff like that. Once again, that is Camtasia.
And finally, the last thing that we want to mention is probably going to be geared if you're either a solo podcaster or podcasting with people in the same room. It's the free recording software of the Logitech C920 that we always talk about, because we talk about this. We talk about getting yourself a C920 if you're going to do any video, but maybe you've got one anyways kicking around and or you've got something like that. There's free software in there that you can record video with, but also record audio, and it's actually pretty good. It sounds pretty good. There's been a couple of different videos that SP and I have done over the years that have been posted to YouTube or even integrated in with some shows that were captured in there, and the audio quality was pretty good. So keep that in mind. Now, while we are mentioning the Logitech video software, because we do recommend the C920, if you've got another thing kicking around, there's probably a piece of software that was included, so check that out, because it's also a really sort of almost out of the box way that you can capture what's going on.
There are a lot of other ways to capture video. We've talked about them before. OBS, XSplit, vMix. If you have any of those programs, they can capture video as well, and you can do that. You can also capture video with your iPhone and then bring the file in to your video editing software of choice and do that, whatever. But if you're working on the computer, the softwares that you have available are very capable of capturing the video as well. So whatever is easiest for you, go with. I just threw the Logitech video recorder in there because, well, you got the camera, you got the software. Just keep in mind the tools in the box that you already have with the hardware and software that you have.
Absolutely. Well, that is going to wrap up our discussion today on recording services. When you are sitting to yourself right now yelling, saying, Steven, SP, you missed this. Why did you not talk about this obvious answer? Come on. Why don't you get in touch with us by Twitter? It's @BetterPod. Send us a tweet with the recommended service and we'll touch base on this again. We absolutely are always encouraging you to make suggestions so that we can relay them. We have our moments where we'll forget a certain service. We're old.
And a little hint, we intentionally left one out. So we're expecting some talk about this particular software in response to this episode.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get to our download, which is actually a twofer.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right, let's just go ahead and get to it. That's right. There has been rumblings in past weeks about Sirius XM getting into the world of podcasting. Now, a few weeks ago, somebody actually said, well, hey, guess what? Sirius XM's doing this new podcast thing, and I can't talk about it because it's private. And then, you know, the inevitable thing happened where you make a website and you share it to a bunch of people and somebody spills the beans. And sure enough, that's what happened. And this is called Project Orange. That's right. Project Orange. And what this means is that There's no reason. We don't know why is it called Project Orange. It is a head scratcher. What is the name of that? But the idea is that they are developing a service that is currently in beta. There's not a lot of knowns about it, but what there is there's a FAQ, frequently asked questions, as well as a legal document on it. And we wanted to quickly just touch base on this because at first you're probably like, great, it's another place that people can find my podcast. Well, hold the phone, because you want to be aware that as it's set up and looking right now, the idea is they're building this area that they can bring in podcasts, you can submit your podcast to, and they're probably going to place ads on it, to which you're saying, Steven, that's great. That pays for everything, right? Because it's SiriusXM. Yeah, no. Apparently, in the information, the legal information, they actually say that there will not be any money sharing. So there will not be money sharing of that. So who knows? Maybe that's something that their lawyers have to say right now, and maybe there'll be an option down the road. Who knows? It is still in beta. But at the moment, that means it's sounding like they're going to go ahead and take your podcast and possibly monetize it. To which you're saying, that's great. Okay, it's fine. I can live with it. It's more traffic going to my stats. More stats means potentially I can sell more ads. More ads means that I can, you know, we don't talk a lot about money, but we're saying that to illustrate a point. It's looking like it's going to work the Google Play method, where that's me sucking up your podcast file. That's what it's looking like it's going to do. It's going to suck up your podcast file and then distribute it on their own, which is, there's actually a question, a frequently asked question on there that says, does this mean I need to stop hosting my podcast at its current hosting site? To which they say, no, you do not and should not stop hosting your podcast wherever it is currently hosted. Why is that? Because they got to suck up that file. So keep that in mind, that it's a lot of unknowns right now. The details are very vague, but from what everybody can tell, it's probably going to be monetized. They're going to have the right to edit your podcast, because maybe they got to remove some content. They're going to have the rights to keep the money, and they're probably not going to give you back any stats or statistics as far as what's going on with your podcast and the downloads. So it's really unknown.
This strikes me very similar to how Stitcher started. And Stitcher for years was like, we're going to take your file, we're going to suck it up. And even though if you've changed your file, the original file is going to be the one that we play to somebody else. And there was a particular podcast that I edited like in 12 steps, because I was like, okay, I don't have time, so I'm just going to throw the live version out there. And I had time to do the editing over the course of like 3 weeks. It took like 3 or 4 weeks to edit that whole podcast. It was like an hour and a half long podcast. The original file that I threw out there, the live version, is the one that Stitcher had for a very long time. Still might have, actually. I don't know when they changed it over. So just keep that in mind, that they're going to suck up the file. It's going to be how Stitcher did it. And the monetization is how Stitcher did it as well. We bring that up for a point. If you are considering monetizing your podcast in the future, there are podcasters that refuse to have their podcasts on places like Stitcher or even Google Play Music, because they do not want to have their rights controlled. Now, if you're a hobby podcaster, in my opinion, it really doesn't make all that much difference, because you're just looking for exposure, and Sirius might give you a little bit more exposure. So go with it. You know, I was looking at TuneIn, which was recently added a couple of years ago as the must submit your RSS feed to make sure your podcast is on TuneIn, because a lot of people are listening on TuneIn, and it's available on set-top boxes like Xbox. I can get my podcast through Amazon Echo, and it is great. I took a look at my stats on a couple of my shows, 1%, 0.5%. That's still a fair amount of listenership, but it's not, you're not going to get like, oh, 20,000 people are going to find me on TuneIn. 20,000 people are going to find me on iHeartRadio. 20,000 people are going to find me on Amazon Echo. No, they're not. It's going to be a slow chug to increase your audience, no matter how many points you distribute to. And Sirius is, it's not going to be any different. They're getting into the podcast game, in my opinion, because they're struggling still financially after all these years, after their merger with XM Radio and everything else. So this is their way of future proofing themselves, just like terrestrial radio. And I wish them luck. But at the same time, I just don't see a big boom coming from this. And in my opinion, it's like, so what? I will submit my RSS feed to Project Orange or whatever Sirius calls it in the future, and it'll stay there. I mean, okay, whatever. It's what it is.
Just gonna say, by the way, Project Orange, great things are orange. Just gonna say, great things are orange. If you've ever seen our artwork at all, it's orange. That's the joke. Okay, so let's move on to something that's actually cooler and better. And this is the great test, the interesting dissection, the wonderful feedback that SP finally gave you about an emerging microphone. That's right. If you watch any podcast communities over the last couple of months, there's been a brand new microphone that's been coming out and talked about. It's called the Knox podcast microphone. That's K-N-O-X. It is a dynamic cardioid XLR USB combination microphone. The great thing about it is it has the options, like I said, of XLR and USB. It also has a tripod that comes with it. And you're saying to yourself, Steven, this sounds very familiar to me. So then you go and you Google it and you're like, hey, you know what? It is familiar to me. It looks just like the Audio-Technica AT2005. So you go and you buy it and you're like, wait, it's a little bit different. It actually looks more like an ATR2100 that is the color of the AT2005 with the grill of the AT2005. So yes, this microphone here is on everybody's radar because it looks incredibly like the ATR2100 and the AT2005 got together, had a love child, and that love child was deported to another company. So that's exactly what it looks like. And SP tested it. He bought one. He did a lot of tests, which you can please check out at the URL geeks.link/Knox. That's K-N-O-X. And you can see the full review there. He gave it a battery of tests. He put a pop filter on there. He tested it with USB. He tested it with XLR. He even tested what it looked like under the grill. Bottom line, we can highly recommend this microphone with a little catch on that because it sounds ridiculously close to the Audio-Technica ATR2100. SP and I still feel the AT2005 sounds a little bit different than the ATR2100. We prefer the sound of the AT2005, but a lot of people love the ATR2100, and this microphone basically sounds spot on to the ATR2100. So if you like that ATR2100, or if you have a 2100 and you're looking for a second mic or something like that, the Knox is quite a bit cheaper. It's only, I think, about $40. A lot cheaper than the Audio-Technica mics that are out there right now. And it looks incredibly similar. So maybe it's made by the same manufacturer somewhere. I don't know. But it sounds really, really close. There's two footnotes we want to give you on this. Number one, longevity. It's unknown. Longevity is unknown because here's the thing. It's a new microphone. We don't know. The Audio-Technica microphones have been tested and tested and tested some more. We don't know. And the reason why there might be a little bit of a flag about this is because of something Stargate Pioneer discovered when he did flip those grills off.
Yeah, I did. I took the grills off just to see, hey, look, is it the same element that's in there? Does it look the same? Is it the same underneath the hood, basically? You go buy a new car, and what's one of the things you do? Even if you don't understand a thing about engines, you pop that hood up and you take a look at that engine, and you go, oh, yeah, that's an engine. That's a good thing I've got one.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
So I did that with the microphone and I popped it open and I go, oh, that's a microphone element, isn't that? Oh, wait, there's a little difference. And it just could be this individual one that I got, and I bought it from Amazon. This is mine personally. It was not provided by Knox or Amazon or anybody else. But if you take a close look to the element where the leads are actually soldered in, there is a bit of a filler glue. I don't know what to call it, but it is very sloppy on this compared to what it is on the ATR2100. And as far as the AT2005, it doesn't even have it. And as the AT2005, in my opinion, sounds a smidge better. So I don't know if it means anything or not, but it might be a little build quality. And because I flipped the grill up and because they look so similar, I reached out to Knox itself. I was like, hey, look, guys, this looks like an ATR 2100 body that's painted, and the grill is right off the AT 2005. What are you guys doing? You going to get sued or something by Audio Technica? Are people not going to be able to buy your stuff? Is your warranty going to be void because your company is not going to exist anymore? Well, they got back to me, and they basically said that they don't have a relationship with Audio Technica, that they've actually reached out to the factory that they buy it from, and the factory hasn't confirmed or denied that it is the same as the ATR 2100. I'm not sure how microphones are made, by the way, Steven, or, you know, does Heil just go out to, I don't know, some factory and say, make me a Heil, or does Audio Technica do the same thing, go to some factory in Southeast Asia, go make me a microphone? Does Electro Voice, who's headquartered in Minnesota, do they go out to, I don't know, Vietnam and say, hey, look, guys, make me some microphones? I think there's some actual design in-house, but in this particular case, they look so similar, and it looks similar to the Samsung Q2U as well. It might as well be the same microphone, and okay. If it's $40 and it's the same microphone, save yourself some money and go get that. Personally, I prefer the aesthetics of the 2005 better, because I like the flush on-off button better than this, 1960s looking on-off button. But that's just my personal opinion. I do like the black. I do like the squarish grill on it. Looks more advanced. And as far as Knox Audio, thank you very much for responding, Sam B, on that. I do appreciate that. And we look forward to more great things from Knox Audio in the future.
And one more question before we get to the Better Podcasting Download. I'm going to ask what many people are asking and thinking about right now, including Suncast from GFQ Network, who reached out. I'm just going to give you a hint here. What about the... That's me smelling the microphone, by the way.
It smells just as bad.
Okay.
I've had this out for like a week. It hasn't aired out yet. It still smells plastically. And I think I'm going to, after this podcast, because I knew I was going to have to do this podcast, so I kept it in the room. It's going in the garage for a few weeks. It's got to air out, man. This is the plastic smell. It's a cheap plastic smell. It works just fine, though. But the cheap plastics, just air. If you get one of these, if you get an ATR 2100, air it out. Yeah. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, we've talked about it a couple times. The ATR 2100 has a weird smell. But thanks very much for testing that out. And if you want to hear this, the test for yourself, please, geeks.link/Knox.
This is Better Pod Back.
Today, we want to tell you a little bit more about self-hosting. Why is that? Well, we had a listener reach out to us on Facebook. We had Scott Prock reach out, and he said, new listener and loving the podcast, guys. I drive 10 hours a day, and you're helping me pass the time with something I want to learn more about. Question about this episode. There was no mention of the pros and cons of actually hosting the media, specifically the MP3s. I rent two dedicated servers, one for gaming and the other to host my web properties. I have the storage space. Why would I want to pay a third party to host my files? Obviously, I'm going to go the route of self-hosted, as I'm a web developer, but I would like to hear your thoughts. Regarding the media being stored elsewhere, would Amazon's S3 service be a good choice for storing the media? I see they have several tiers with free options that sound like a great starter for a new podcast. I also thought about using YouTube. Thanks again for the great content. Okay, so let's back up here to the question about talking about hosting the media. Now, we briefly touched on that, and we wanted to talk more about the RSS feed. And the reason why we want to talk about the RSS feed was because that's the part that everybody's subscribing to. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about that when we did the self-hosting podcasting episode, as well as it is the area that you're submitting to a lot of different places. So that's what we wanted to talk about. But yeah, we briefly touched on the media. That was when we asked the questions from the hosting companies. That was one of the questions I included, was can they host the actual podcast files there? And absolutely, you have yourself a dedicated server, it's a great way to go, because you've got that dedicated. The only thing you're going to want to consider, well, there's a couple things, but the main thing you're going to want to consider is bandwidth and draw on the server. Now, from a perspective, I'm going to go ahead and say that there was a time that I self-hosted the files on a web hosting company that is a fairly large company, one that is often recommended with a promo code within the podcasting circles. And I had extreme problems running a regular website on it. This was the comic book website I ran. I couldn't do it. They just were not stable for me. I had problems with basically WordPress loading. It was giving me errors all the time. Now, why am I telling you that? Because what I was able to do, because I had paid for hosting, I was able to host the MP3 files on that extremely reliable. So to me, that indicates that an actual MP3 download itself is not taking that much resources from the server. And it makes sense. It's a file. It is a file that is downloading, just one single file. It's not accessing databases. It's not doing any of these other things. So the actual media being hosted on a file is probably not going to be that intense on the resources of the dedicated server. So you're really looking more at the bandwidth. Are you willing to go through the bandwidth, the transfer allocation that you've got per month for your dedicated server, as far as putting the MP3s on there? And as your podcasts grow, is that something you're prepared to do? And I want to cite an example of that. We talked about Galactic Water Cooler, which was the one that SP was really into. Long time ago, it was one that they were a fairly large podcast. They had a large community. And my understanding of them, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, was that they at one point made the transition from self-hosting their podcast files to using a media server because of some of those problems. So they still kept the RSS feed on their property, but what they ended up doing was hosting those media files elsewhere because they grew to the point that the trade-off made sense. Like, now it was actually costing less and being more reliable to go with a media company for the files. So you got to keep that in mind. At some point, if you grow your podcast so much, you might end up finding that it's actually more of a detriment to do that versus paying something elsewise. As for Amazon S3 service, personally don't have a lot of information on it. But this past weekend, there were some problems with Amazon S3. So it was an error, a human error. You can look into that. A lot of sites were affected. But, you know, I think that any hosting company, you might run into that problem. So everybody has their fair share of outages. It's just the nature of it. Can't have 100% stability all the time. So hopefully that answers your question. I will say this, that if you're starting out a podcast, you've got the space, I would go ahead, and if you can afford the bandwidth, try self-hosting the media, because you'll be able to start to get an assessment. If all of a sudden you're noticing your bandwidth is going up huge, maybe you can flip that around. You won't have that many episodes to go in and flip the URL on within your RSS feed. So thanks for asking that question. We appreciate that, Scott.
And with any media host that you are looking into, take time to read the terms of service as well as the tiers and what you're buying for the price and what extras you might be in for if you choose them and your downloads grow to a certain point.
Awesome. We also had another question we were asked from We the Hums, which was Allison, right?
That's right. Allison basically said, if you're interested in getting into podcasting, I highly recommend listening to Better Podcasting. Lots of great advice from concept to tech. So thank you very much for that little promotion recommendation, Allison.
And finally, we asked the question, what product or service do you use to record your podcast? We got a few different responses. Kenneth said, I record on a HiOPR 40 in Audacity. My co-hosts each record locally in Audacity as well, and we communicate through Hangouts. So there you go. There's a great way to do it.
Yeah, Allison said, I started with GarageBand and moved to Audacity and hosting her podcast on Podbean. So yeah, like we said before, there's a bunch of different editing softwares out there that you can actually record directly into, like Audacity, GarageBand, and others.
And Diami Paloki said, ATR 2100, Zoom H5, Skype, Audacity, Auphonic, and Buzzsprout. So a bunch of combination there, and thank you very much for sharing that flow with us there.
Yeah, lots of great options out there. And if you have a different version of recording your podcast that we haven't talked about, please get a hold of us and we will talk about it on a future episode of Better Podcasting.
Such as those folks who came by Geeks.live today while we were recording that. We had quite a few different people. We had Chris, we had Mike, we had Scott. We had a couple other people dropping in. And Scott actually, during the conversation, told us about his method that I want to share before we close up here today. He says, we sometimes have guests that don't have Skype, like the last 2 weeks. So I recorded on my Zoom H6 over a Facebook audio call. It worked really well. Everybody in the free world has Facebook. Well, almost everybody. I think that's a dig at USB.
Oh, Facebook, whatever. And you're not going to let me back in. They tried again to solicit me to become part of their social media experience again. And I started going through it. Nope, same things. Matter of fact, I was noticing more and more that they just wanted to scrape my personal information so that they could sell it off.
All right. Well, that is going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thanks, everybody, who did check it out. As always, if you do have something to say, please get in touch with us through a variety of different ways, including going to facebook.com/betterpodcasting, where you can write whatever you want and SP can't see it.
That's right. I can't see it. But before we go, Stephen, there is one last thing that I want to bring up. We started this podcast on a specific note, and you actually used the chimes as we were transitioning into the Better Pod Back. And we need to tell people where that's from. It is from Last Man Standing, Season 6, Episode 19, I believe, called Take Me to Church, in which two of the characters, this is Season 6 of the show, folks, two of the characters are revealed to have a podcast. And they are called, it's called the Vegans and Villains Podcast, and they use a bunch of natural sound effects to transition from one scene to the next, including that very set of chimes that Stephen has in front of him. And just a little note that you can use practical sound effects as well, as long as they're mic'd up properly.
Yeah, well, what was interesting about that was they kind of took the sort of usual, like, okay, they took a bit of the stereotypical approach where they talked about basically nothing. That was it was the idea that a lot of people have, two random people sitting down and just not having a plan. So they kind of got an X in our mark in our books for that, because like the hobby podcaster could be better. But here's the bonus. They refined when they got their listener feedback. They refined their show, so I'll give them a little bit of a wash on this.
Yeah, and they were personally connecting with all 14 of their listeners. So I think that's a bonus, that they were able to personally connect with their listeners, which is one of the great things about podcasts. No matter how big you are personally connecting with the listener whose odds are listening in their earbuds or in their car as they're commuting back and forth. It's just you and them. So right now, it's just us and you. We realize that. And thank you for stopping by Better Podcasting. We really appreciate you listening. We appreciate your feedback. And we appreciate you going out and making great content for us to listen to in our cars and in our earbuds.
But that is indeed the end of episode 69 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew. I have a chime buddy named Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer. I do indeed have the chimes. Go to youtube.com/goodageek to check those out.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.